All right, this tonight, if you would turn to the book of Psalms 115. Psalm number 115. And we'll begin reading in verse number 12 and read down through the remainder of the chapter. The psalm here that is given to us that gives us some, especially verse number 12 is primarily the verse that I want to use tonight. But I want to read the other verses in connection to it because they are along the same thought. Verse number 12, Psalm 115, says, "The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you and more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth forever, forevermore. Praise the Lord," or hallelujah. Here in these verses, we find the psalmist is continually telling us to bless the Lord. He is telling us that we have many things to rejoice in. And many times we will, as Brother Harold prayed a while ago, sometimes we take those things for granted. Sometimes we forget of all the blessings that the Lord has been so good to give us. But we find in this verse, verse number 12, "The Lord hath been mindful of us." I'm glad tonight that I can declare, and I'm glad that I know the Lord is mindful of us. I'm glad that He thinks about us, that He has attention toward His people, that He gives us and continually blesses over and over because of His love to us. And He has been so good. Romans chapter number 11, that entire chapter tells us how good the Lord has been and all the manifold blessings that's been given. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, another place, that we are to be thankful for all of His benefits that He has blessed us with. And so we certainly can agree with the psalmist when he says, "The Lord has been mindful of us, and He will bless us." And I want us tonight just sort of a Bible study, and not into in-depth things, and sort of going from different verse to verse. This morning our sermon was primarily found all in one passage of Scripture, and tonight we'll look at some verses in many, many places of how the Lord has been mindful of us, and how that He has worked for us and given to us the many, many blessings that He has done. Verse 15 says, "Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth." What is man that thou art mindful of him, that God would look down and would be mindful of us, that He would be thoughtful and He would have anything to do to help us, because in His omnipotent power and His mercy that He has and all the strength that is belongs to Him, He takes time and He is interested in my being. He is interested in what I'm doing. He's interested in what I'm accomplishing, and He certainly is interested in what I'm not able to accomplish. And He's interested in my righteousness, and He's interested in my unrighteousness. He certainly is interested in us. He's mindful of us. We are on His heart. We are on His thought, in His thoughts, and things that He does to benefit His people. The Bible says here, "The heavens of heavens was made for the Lord, but the earth was made for His people." And so we find that God has given to us manifold blessings. And I want us to just think of five or six things tonight of how the Lord has been mindful of us, and how that He has graciously given us these different things, and that we can rejoice in, and certainly should never take for granted of these things, but to be thoughtful that and thankful of what the Lord has done. First of all, I'm glad that the Lord has picked us up out of a miry clay. He has put our feet on a solid rock, and He has picked us. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 4, it says, "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." And so we find that we have, by grace, the Lord has put us in a position whereby we can be called His children, that we can be called a child of God. When I was sinking in the depths of sin, when I was in miry clay and I was floundering around and trying to do our own things and in the quagmire of sin, I'm glad He came and picked us up. I'm glad He came and did something in my heart and your heart that He has put our feet on a solid foundation, of course, which is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so by grace, the Bible says here that He hath chosen us in Him that we should be holy and without blame and according to the love of God. Not only has He chosen us, but I'm glad, thank God, He called us by His grace. The Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 1, verse number 15, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by His grace." Tonight we are here here in this place because one day the Lord spoke to our heart. Because one day God called us and He has given us life eternal. And so we have been picked up by the Lord, by the grace of God. He has chosen us. He has called us. And Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says we're saved by grace. And so all of these things work intricately in the life of believers that we might have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we can surely say with the psalmist that He has been mindful of us. That the Lord has thought about us and He has blessed us. And we that fear Him, both small and great, He has certainly blessed us with abundant, bountiful blessings upon this life. So He's picked us up. He's made us a new creature in Christ and have the liberty in the Lord that we might be able to serve Him until He comes for us, that we might be a faithful witness and be one that can give off the radiant light of the Lord Jesus Christ to those that are around us. Not only did He pick us, but I'm glad, thank God, He pardoned us. The Bible says He picked us by His grace, but He pardoned us by His mercy. The mercy of the Lord, that which He gives to us. And the Bible says that the man that was a publican, he prayed and said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, have mercy upon my soul." And, of course, mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. We deserve to die. We deserve to go to hell. We deserve all the things that are given to us about wickedness because we are wicked in our lives. But by mercy, we have had pardon given to us. And the Bible says in the book of Nehemiah, over in chapter number 9, if you read all this chapter, you'll find that Nehemiah is rehearsing in the ears of the hearer of all the blessings that God has given them. He said that they were shown signs and wonders there with Pharaoh, and they had the sea divided, and they had all the things come down. They had the manna from heaven. But when you get to verse number 17, the Scripture says, "And refused to obey." He says, "Our fathers hardened their necks, and they hardened their hearts. They stiffened their heart against the commandments of God." And verse 19 says, "They refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou," notice the last part of verse 17, "but thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsook them not." Here we find that God had blessed Israel and the Jew with every blessing imaginable. And the Bible says here they even chose them a captain to go back into bondage. I remember in the book of Exodus that they come to Moses and they say, that you have led us out here to die in the wilderness. The water where they had come was bitter water. It was unfit to use, and they had no bread, they had no food, and they began to complain to Moses that they would to God that they had the cucumbers and the leeks and all the good things that Egypt had to offer them. And here Nehemiah says that they even got to the point that they appointed a captain to return to their bondage. They chose someone to stand up against Moses, and they were going back into bondage. They were going back to Egypt. But here Nehemiah says, "But Lord, You're ready to pardon. Amidst all of those sins and all the things that the Jew did against God, He was ready to pardon them. He was gracious toward them. He was merciful toward them. He was slow to anger and of a great kindness and forsook them not." So here we find the Lord is willing to do all that is possible beforehand, and then when people rebel, He's still ready to pardon. I'm glad tonight He's still ready to pardon people. I'm glad He's ready to forgive folks, and people can still be saved, and the grace of God can still be manifest, and the mercy of the Lord is given. And so He's ready, ready to pardon all that will come. I'm glad He pardoned me when I came. Abundant pardon. The Bible says, Isaiah 55 and verse 7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." So not only is He ready to pardon, but He will abundantly pardon. He will give more grace, as the Bible tells us in the book of Romans. And He'll make us have life and the light of God given to us and the blessings of the Lord because He has pardoned us. And it's an eternal pardon. It's forever and forever. The Bible says in Micah, one of the Old Testament, one of those small books there in the Old Testament, Micah chapter 7. Verse 18 and verse 19, I want to read these verses. It says, "Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, but he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all, their sins into the depths of the sea." We many times talk about our sins are cast into the bottomless sea or to the depths of the sea, and here that's the verse that we get that phrase from, and we find that as far as the east is from the west is our sins, and there's another verse that tells us that. And so here in the little book of Micah that so many times we do not read, Micah says that who is like our God? He is ready, He is able, and He pardons iniquity. He pardons transgression. He passes by that. And then He will turn again, and He will subdue us and subdue our iniquities, and then He'll cast them into the depths of the sea. And so thank the Lord tonight we have the pardon of the Lord. It's been signed by God, by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are set free. Sometimes we don't live like we're free. Sometimes we live like we're still in bondage. Just like the people of Israel, when they were out of Egyptian bondage, sometimes they wanted to go back, and sometimes they did things like they did in Egypt. And we are guilty of the same thing. But He abundantly pardons us, and He's ready to pardon. And certainly that pardon that He gives to us is a pardon that will where we can have our sins removed and cast into the depths of the seas of the world that God has, and He says He will never remember them ever again. So it's a wonderful thing for God to choose us, to pick us. It's another wonderful thing for God to pardon us with His mercy and give us salvation. Now, along with that, we find that He has purged us through faith. Now, the word purge means that there's a work being done in our life. When you purge things out of, when you prune off of a tree, you cut things off. When you purge out of the life, there are things that are taken away. And through faith, we learn to live in the principles and the ways that God has given to us in the Scripture. Faith is that essential element that works both in a positional way that I am saved, and in a practical way that we spoke of this morning concerning what others see with us and see about us and through us in our daily walk with God. It's a daily cleansing. A purging is a cleansing, and thank the Lord, by and through faith He has cleansed us, and we have life that is given to us. The Bible says in Psalm 51 verse 7, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Here's the psalmist saying, "God, would you not clean me up?" And if you notice Psalm 51, all of those verses, if we had time tonight, we could go back and read them. This is David's confession of his sin and the things that he was guilty of with Bathsheba. He comes before God, a broken man, a broken-hearted man, and he says, "Lord, would you not purge me? Would you not clean me up? And would you not take care and take care of my life? And then I shall be whiter than snow." He says, "Lord, I've sinned against thee and thee only. I've done those things and I'm guilty." And David was accepting the responsibility that all of us must accept as our personal sins, that we are guilty of that. A person does what he does most of the time because he wants to. We live in a world when people are always trying to find a reason why. Why does a person do what they do? Why are the crimes committed? And why this type of crime is connected with something else? And there's always trying to find a reason for it. But the reason that we sin is because we're sinners. And the reason that we have to have cleansing is because of that wickedness that's still in our heart. But thank God He can clean us up, and He does that as we exercise our faith daily for cleansing and for having a good conscience, and that we would just continue in the work of the Lord. John chapter 15 verse 2 says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He pruneth, purgeth it, and it may bring forth more fruit." And so the purging or the pruning here that John talks about is that which cuts away the dead, or cuts away the unproductive, and then replacing that with something that can be used and productive in the things of the Lord. We don't like purging. We don't like correction. We don't like the Lord chastening us. But it's for our good that we may bring forth more fruit, that we might do more for the Lord and cut off the dead wood and cut off the things that are not useful and not usable. And He replaces it with something that's wonderful and great, because He has taken that individual, that person, and He is working on us that we might be a light shining in darkness in the world in which we live. And that's what we need to be. That's what we should desire to be as a believer. So the psalmist says in Psalm 115, "The Lord hath been mindful of me." Not only is He mindful of my condition beforehand, and that He has chosen us in the Lord, not only is He mindful of us in that He pardons us, but He's mindful of us also in our wickedness and our sinfulness, and He cleanses that off, and He takes that away from us, and we exercise our faith in the Lord, and we grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Another thing that the Lord has done for us is that He's planted us. We hear the verse, and I quote the verse many times, that He sets our feet on a solid rock. He plants us in a position and in a place whereby we can work for Him. It was a glorious day when the Lord came into my life and made me a new creature. It was a wonderful time when I realized that the God of heaven, the God that had made heaven and earth, the heaven for Himself and the earth for His people, it was a wonderful time when I realized that God really was mindful of me, that God really considered me, considered who I was, and nobody else would know me and nobody else would care, but I'm glad Jesus cared. I'm glad God cared. Jesus died and cared for us, and we have now been planted. We've been put positionally in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even that first verse that I read a while ago says, according to He has chosen us in Him. I'm glad our position is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our position is because of what Christ did for us, and now we are in the Lord, and He's in us, and therefore we have been planted because He loved us with an abounding love, a never-ending love that He has given to us. The Bible describes it that we're like a tree that's planted by the water. We're like a tree that's been planted there close to the water. And as the water flows and the moisture gets into the ground, the roots of that tree draw from that. And those trees are always sturdy and they're strong because they get their nourishment from the water. I'm glad today that we've been planted by the water according to the Scripture. That's found in Psalm number 1, verse 3. He says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." That's a blessing of the Lord. That's a blessing that God has given. Psalm number 1:3 tells us that we have been planted, and we are like a tree by the river of water. We bring forth fruit in his season, and the leaf does not wither. In these last couple of weeks, we've gone through quite a bit of hot weather, and you look out every once in a while at your flowers. If you don't water them, they're going to wither. We've got some out here at the front. If you don't water them, they're going to die because there's just no moisture, and so there has to be water for life. Well, the child of God has been planted by the river and He has given us life eternal, life abundant. And the Scripture says here, His leaf shall not wither. That means we get our strength from the Lord. We get our strength from the things of God. We get our strength from that water that we have, and the water that's been given to us, the water of life. Jesus told that woman at the well, He said, I'll give you something to drink that you'll never thirst again. Of course, she didn't understand, and she thought He was talking about the water coming out of that well, but He was talking about eternal water. He's talking about the water of life. And He said, if you take of this water, you'll never thirst. I'm glad one day, thank God, I took a drink of that water. I'm glad I had a fountain given to me and a rejoicing in my soul because of what Christ did and how He was mindful of me. And how that He loved me. And so He has planted me. Not only does He plant me in by the rivers of water, but the Scripture says that we've been planted in the house of the Lord. Psalm 92 and Psalm number 92, verse number 13. It says, those that are be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. So the believer, the child of God, of course the psalmist is talking about the Jew, talking about the house of God or the temple of the Lord. He said, if that person be planted in the house of the Lord, he's going to flourish and he's going to have blessing. Why? It's because God is mindful of us. That God cares about us, and He has given us those many, many things. So He's picked us up, He's pardoned us, He's purged us, He's planted us. He picked us by grace, He pardoned us by mercy, He purged us through faith, and He planted me by love. The love of God that passes all understanding, that comes upon mankind if they will just believe upon Him. Trusting Him abundantly for the life that comes through Jesus Christ. We are planted in His likeness in the death. One of these days we're going to die as Jesus died. But you know, that's not the end of it. One of these days we're going to rise again as Jesus did. So we've been planted with Him. The baptism that we observe this morning is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we all have that promise of the Lord as a believer that one day we're going to rise again. We're going to have newness of life, for if He rose from the dead, we shall also rise one day. That gives us hope, that gives us joy, even at the cemetery, that we will go and as far as we can go with that individual, and we say those last words, and we go home, and they cover the casket with the dirt of the earth, for the Scripture says that dust we came from and dust we go back to. But we have that hope and we have that promise that one day we shall see the Lord, and those dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that remain shall go up to be with the Lord forever in the air. What a blessing it is that God's mindful of us. What a joy it is in our soul to know that the Lord has done all of that for me because He loved me, because He cared about me. And one of these days He's going to purify us, and He's going to make us ready for glory. The song says He's still working on us. What He's doing is getting us to the point and the position that one day we shall be ready to see Him. Titus chapter 2, verse 14 talks about the Lord who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. What is the Lord going to do? He's purifying. He's working on us. He's giving us all these things, and we are a peculiar people. Now, the peculiar here is not like most people say we're peculiar. They say that in a slanderous way and in a mocking way. Well, you're sort of peculiar in what you believe. But the Lord says we're a peculiar people in that we are different. God has given us a difference of life and a difference of hope and eternity that's ahead of us. And He's going to remove all those hindering things. And one of these days, the glorious life that we have and one day will be given to us when Jesus shall appear, and He will present us unto Himself. He's mindful of us. He's that wonderful Savior that we have, that wonderful Lord that cares about us, and He's working on us. He's purifying. When you purify water, you put it through a system, and that system takes out all the impurities, takes out all the dross. And somebody said if you put your water under the microscope, you wouldn't want to drink any more water because of all the things that's floating around in it. Well, you put a purifier in your system or in your house and you drink that water that's purified. You can buy it down here at Walmart. It says purified water. That means it's gone through a process of cleaning it up. Well, we're going through a process. He's still working on us. And the Bible says that we are learning to experience these things by the grace of God, and that one day He will present us unto Himself a glorious people. But right now, He's purifying. Right now, He's working. He's, as we said a while ago, He's purging us. He's pruning us. He's doing all these things to get us equipped for heaven. We are a particular people, and we have a glorious eternal salvation that is ahead that will never fade away, and one of these days, we're going to go to glory. Jesus said, I go prepare a place for you. Where I am, there you may be also. And this is given to us that we might have been purified, not necessarily in the eyes of men, but in the eyes of the Lord. He is working on us. The Scripture uses a terminology like this, growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord. It should be the desire of every Christian to learn about the Lord. It should be the desire of every child of God to go through the process of learning and obtaining facts and obtaining thoughts out of God's Word that will help us in our daily walk with the Lord. There are a lot of people that have not done that too well. The Apostle Paul ran into some folks like that, and he said, I should be able to feed you with the meat of the Word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But he says, I can't do that because you just can't handle it. And he says, so I have to feed you with the milk of the Word, the easy things. Now, when a person gets saved, the Bible classifies them as a babe in Christ. We are classified as children in the Lord, and we're babes in Christ. We are just beginning to learn, and we're beginning to be aware of some things that what has happened to us. I hope that you know more about what God did for you the day you got saved than you knew the day you got saved. You see, you need to learn, you need to grow, you need to have maturity and to realize, when I got saved, I had no idea what justification was about. I'd heard the word, but I didn't know what it was. But I knew I was saved. There were some other words or some other things in the Scripture that really didn't bother my thought pattern as a child. But as we grow older in age physically, we should grow older in spiritual age also, and to learn some things from God's Word. And I'll tell you what, there's some hard things in this book before us. There's some hard things to understand. There's some hard things to... Really, there's some hard things to believe. It is that way. There are things that our flesh would rebel against, and we see it in black and white, and we see it in the Word of God, but it's sometimes difficult for us to accept that. And because we've been told one thing or something else, and all of a sudden we've got to unlearn what we've had and let God replace it with the truth. And those are things that He is purifying in us and working in us and giving to us where we are more fit for the kingdom of God now than we were earlier. And then thank God, lastly, one day He will present me unto the Father. I doubt we have very clear understanding of what the Lord is going to do. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 that He is going to present unto Himself a glorious church, a body of people that has followed the name of Christ, has gone and done all the things that the Lord has told them to do. They've been saved. They've done all those things. And Ephesians says that there's going to be a wedding. And there's going to be a time when we are presented unto the Lord as the bride of Christ. I don't understand all that, but I'm looking forward to that. I don't understand all the integral parts of that. I've heard so many. I've read so much. And we're always influenced by our environment, and we're influenced by the people we read, and we're influenced by the folks that we know. And I've heard so many different angles of what that's all about. I'm just waiting one day to see exactly how it is. Because one day the Scripture says we're going to be presented unto the Lord a glorious people, a glorious, a glorified body of people. And in this, we are going to be blameless before the Lord. He says, Jude says in chapter, which is only one chapter, In verse number 24, it says, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy." Verse 24 of Jude, "Unto Him that is able," I'm glad God's able. That's all the way from Genesis to Revelation. We find out that God's able. He can supply, He can do, He can give us. And He does that all because He's mindful of us. Psalm 115. But there's coming a time when He is going to be presenting us before the very presence of His glory. One of these days we're going to stand before God. And I believe we will rejoice. I believe we will thank the Lord. I believe we'll have abundant mercy and abundant life, and there'll be joy unspeakable and full of glory, because we will stand before Him. He that sent His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, it's by grace that God did that. God did not have to provide a means of salvation. But before the world was even founded, Jesus was as a lamb slain. We read that this morning in our Sunday school. And before the world was founded, we find that God had in His heart and had in His mind, and He knew all things from the very beginning. And one day we're going to be presented before Him in the very presence of His glory. And there's going to be exceeding joy. I know there's going to be joy with the Lord, but I'll tell you what, I believe the main joy will be the joy of His people. That we are there because He loved us. We are there because He has chosen us by His grace. We are there because He's pardoned us by His mercy. We are there because He planted us and He is purging us and purifying us so that one day He can present us unto the very glories of the Father, full of grace and truth. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 22 says, "In the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreproachable in His sight." Before He can do that, He's got to do a lot of work on us. He saved us, and that made us presentable to the Lord. But He's going to one day present us unblameable, holy, unreprovable in His sight. I'll tell you what, there's a great day heading for the child of God. He was mindful of us as Psalm tells us in verse number 12 of 115, He's been mindful of us. He has blessed us. He's cared for us. I dare say tonight that we could go around the room and ask for testimonies of how the Lord's cared for you. Some very special things that God's done for you. Some things that might not have meant anything to anybody else, but the Lord answered your prayer. You know why He did that? He's mindful of you. There are things that in my life, and even when when I was younger, when I was in college, and those things you never forget about how God supplies all those needs. It's an amazing thing how God gives us ways of taking care of what needs to be taken care of. Why does He do that? He's mindful of us. He cares about us. And one day, we're His trophy of grace. And one day, we're going to be presented before Him as faultless. We're going to be presented before Him as unreprovable. We're going to be presented before Him as holy. And that's all a result of what God has done for us. We surely cannot become holy in our own self. We surely cannot become unreprovable or unreproachable in our own power. We surely cannot be unblameable, because there's blame and there's reproach and there's sin. One day He's going to present us to Himself, a holy and righteous people, all by grace, through faith, through the mercy of God, the love of God, for the glory of the Father. We've had some good days in the past, but I'll tell you what, I believe better days are ahead. We've had some wonderful things that God's done for us in the past, and we can rejoice in those, and we can proclaim those, and we can give testimony of that. But I believe there's some things ahead for us even tomorrow. The Lord has great things for His people. Why? Because He's still mindful of us. But I'll tell you what, the best day of our life will be the day we stand before Him, pure, spotless, holy, and righteous. And we'll have to admit, all because of Christ. all because of Him and how He loved us. When Lazarus died and they were looking there at the Lord, and the Bible says that Jesus wept there, the crowd that stood around, they said how He loved him. Well, I'll tell you what, He didn't love Lazarus any more than He loves you and I. Because we that were dead in our sins, we that had already gone beyond the point of return, I'm glad, thank God, Jesus come by and said, loose him, let him go. The Lord came to our heart and our life and made us a free child of God with liberty and justice that He has bestowed upon us to rejoice in Him. And so what He did for Lazarus, that's great and wonderful, and we can read about it, but He's done it for every believer. We have been loosed from the pangs of sin. We've been loosed from the wrappings of sin. We've been loosed from all those grave clothes. And now He's making us presentable before His Father. He is mindful of you and I. He loves us and cares for us. So when we go out tonight and go out in our daily walk tomorrow, whatever comes our way, just remember, God loves you. Whatever may happen, and I'm looking here tonight at a group of people that we don't know what's ahead. I may get a phone call tonight. Boy, I hate for my phone to ring at night. It's never good news. It's never good. 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, you know something's wrong. And we don't know what's facing us, but I'm glad I know who holds my hand. I'm glad I know who holds my tomorrow because He's mindful of me. He loves me. And thank God for that everlasting love that's been bestowed upon you and I. Let's stand together tonight.